The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Wilson with KGLA Algona and Steve Woodhouse with Marion County Express. Brian, would you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Thank you, Senator. I guess, first off, I would like some commentary. Recent federal layoffs have included over 50 workers at the USDA's National Centers for Animal Health in Ames, and that lab is working on a number of things, including a vaccine for dairy cows to prevent them from getting bird flu. And I guess, is there any concern maybe amongst the Iowa delegation that some of these cuts may be doing more harm than good to farmers?
Well, we sure heard a lot about it, but in one particular case, and this is just one individual, we heard that they were reviewing that case and that person might get back, the one working on bird flu. But I don't know. But obviously, this is going to be very upsetting to the people that are being laid off. It could be to be hurting their family as well. It might not be easy for them to get another job. But the president was elected that he was going to change things. And right now, I would like to say they're going through a review process. That isn't going to satisfy the people that are losing a paycheck today as opposed to others. Some were offered to buy out, and that's a free choice that they make. But I think I have a responsibility to bring to the attention of the various departments here. So on the bird flu thing, we raised some questions. Steve.
Yes, sir. I read that Senator Rand Paul offered an amendment to reduce the budget by $1.7 trillion, but you voted against that. Can you kind of offer me some context as to how much of that is true and what your reasoning for your vote?
Yeah. The main reason for my vote is we've only got 53 Republicans. And every Democrat is going to vote against the budget resolution. So we got to have at least 50 Republicans with the vice president, 51 without it. And Rand Paul was the only one that voted against the budget on final passage. But let's just say his amendment got adopted and more Republicans would vote against it. Then we wouldn't have a budget resolution. And if you don't have a budget resolution, you don't have the reconciliation bill that will keep the largest tax increase in the history of the country from becoming. You would make it possible if you don't have reconciliation for the biggest tax increase in the history of the country coming without even a vote of the people. Because when the 2017 tax decrease expires, then you go back to what the higher taxes were prior to 2017. So that's why I voted against it. And Republicans have to stick together because there isn't a single Democrat going to help us. And we can't have the biggest tax increase in the history of the country. Now, you could say that there's other things in this bill that are important to get done. And that would be building the wall, having enough resources to deport people illegally entering our country, and then also for our military defense. So that's why the reconciliation bill is so important. Brian?
Yeah, Senator, this past week you were joined by several colleagues in urging Secretary Rollins to try and address the bird flu outbreaks and to do whatever the USDA can to try and help limit the impact. I guess, have you gotten any indication from USDA that they're what kind of plans they haven't made to try and address these outbreaks, or have you gotten any kind of response on that?
Evidently, they're considering a vaccination of birds. That carries with it some downside because it might, some countries don't want to take egg products and chicken meat if it's been vaccinated, and that might hurt some of our exports, but that's about the only thing that is keeping vaccination from happening. And I don't know where the Secretary of Agriculture is on that point, but it's something that is under consideration. Steve?
To like craft a budget from scratch rather than just go through the reconciliation process and perhaps go back to pre-COVID spending levels?
Well, that's how we're developing our reconciliation package. It would be this way. It would be pre-COVID levels of expenditures. So let's say that would be 2019 levels plus inflation plus population growth. That would bring us to a point where instead of spending about $7.3 trillion in the next year, it'd be about $6.5 trillion. Brian?
Yeah, Senator, I know you're working with Senator Klobuchar from Minnesota to try and allow Americans to get access to affordable prescription drugs from Canada. I guess, is there any concern with the back and forth with tariffs and everything like that, that something like that might fall through, or do you think this is something that can get passed through Congress?
Well, there's several bills in that deal with keeping prescription drug prices down. Now, as important as it is that we pass the Klobuchar-Grassley bill, or Grassley-Klobuchar, however you want to call it, it's pretty insignificant in the savings to the consumer compared to what we can do through bills bringing pharmaceutical benefit managers, PBMs for short, bringing everything that they do out into the open, because it's very tightly held negotiations. We don't know whether they benefit from it, the consumer benefits from it, the local pharmacists, pharmaceutical companies, or the health insurance companies. And another reason we need to concentrate on the pharmacy benefit managers, and I'm sure Klobuchar is willing to do that too, so I'm not belittling our bill compared to doing something really big, is because we don't know what they do, we don't know who they benefit, and most importantly, you'd find the three biggest ones having 85% of the markets, so you could raise the question whether or not there's enough competition to keep prices down. I think the bottom line is, I'd say this, I talk about Klobuchar-Grassley, I talk about PBMs, we need all of the above approach to lower pharmaceutical prices, and that would include four or five bills like Grassley Klobuchar coming out of Judiciary, and then it happens at three other committees. The Health Committee, the Finance Committee, and the Commerce Committee also have bills on PBMs. So it's really a big item around here, and we ought to be able to move it, because about 65% or 70% of the Senate has signed up to one of these three PBM bills. Steve, you got the last question.
Yes, given your years in the Senate and all the time you spend in Washington, how is it possible for some of your colleagues to become multimillionaires on the base salary afforded to these public servants?
Well, just look at it this way. Take Chuck Grassley as an example. I spent 10 years on an assembly line in a little factory in Cedar Falls. So how did I get money like that? I bought a farm, bought another farm, bought another farm, paid about $1,200 an acre, and they're worth $10,000 now. I don't know how it is for the other 99 people, but the Lord's been good to me, but also inflation's been good to me, and I'm not sure that you have any more income. Another thing is, if you're really fiscally conservative like I am, and you make the money of a senator, and you save a lot, and you invest it, it's really not anything we do. It's just the good fortune of a free enterprise economy that we have. Thank you all very much. Goodbye.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian and Steve, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.